May I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You better get ready. Yesterday, the church throughout the world marked the incredible beginning of the Incarnation, that event where Archangel Gabriel announces and says to Mary, you are to become the Mother of God. And her incredible yes to that will of God. So you've got 9 months to prepare for Christmas, to get ready for that event once again. And it's interesting, isn't it, how that celebration yesterday comes at this point in Lent. This point where we're moving ever so close to the events of Holy Week, and our readings begin to focus us towards what we are going to witness from a distance in those events of the Passion. The readings are quite literally about life and about death. 3 weeks ago, I was rushing out to take a service in my full gear, and suddenly as I got in the car, I realized the fuel light was on, further putting pressure on my trip. So I stop at the petrol station, get out in my purple cassock, as you do, and I'm beginning to fill the car up, and a builder's van comes to the pump next to me. And this bloke gets out, and he's looking me up and down. And you see him, he goes, "Here, vicar, why should I believe in God?" That moment of engagement, but also time. And I've never quite got the right line about me at that point. And then literally, at that second, a hearse, not with a coffin, but a hearse, comes to the pump behind his. And he looks round and he goes, "Well, that's answered that question then." We, of course, laugh. But death is such a taboo subject within our society. It is something that we fail to prepare people for. Nobody at school talks about death. No one speaks of this. We try and hide it away, even though we know the consequences and the cost of it and the pain of it. And I know for some of you this morning, that pain will be red raw. And for others, it'll just be a sense of loss and sadness. A beautiful old Kentuckian for the dead has this line in it: "Weeping we go to the grave, but alleluia is our song." Weeping, we go to the grave, but alleluia is our song. So if our culture around us fails to engage with this reality which affects each of us, how can we speak differently into this? Well, this gospel passage is at the heart of our response. What can we learn from Mary and Martha, who we meet there? Their response to this worst case scenario: their brother is dead. Martha and Mary, who we've met already. You remember, Martha is the one who's terribly busy. Too busy to listen to God. she's come on a long way. Today, we hear first and foremost in her response when Jesus finally arrives. We hear that response of grief, don't we? Lord, if you had been here earlier, my brother would not have died. It's a visceral response. It's the response that each of us seeks to make in those moments of grief and sadness and loss when we have been separated from somebody who we love physically. You can feel her emotion. And yet you can also feel her faith. Yet, Lord, you are the Messiah, the chosen one. I know that my brother will rise again on the last day. She has faith, but she hasn't quite connected the power of God to save. She hasn't quite connected what this man, her friend, can do. She hasn't completely absorbed that in her heart as yet. And Mary too. Mary, when she comes out with that group grieving, will also say similar words to Jesus. So they believe. They have spent time with their friend. They have decided who he is. And they have faith in him. And they have faith that their brother will rise from the dead at the end of time. Perhaps as we reflect on Mary and Martha, we must know that often for us as Christians, this is a slow journey into the realization of who God is. And it is at these moments in our lives when we're faced with grief that our bank of faith is tested. Tomorrow, I will take the funeral of one of my previous parishioners, Bryony. She was 37 years old. She leaves 3 children under 10 and a husband. This is a reality for us all, that life is fragile and death is a reality. But so is resurrection. Weeping, we go to the grave, but alleluia is our song. Mary and Martha seem to know this. They have it in their heart. They have built up a relationship with this God of love. So let's, as always, look to Jesus. Jesus, whose every breath from the beginning of life to his death on the cross to his resurrection is for us. That same Jesus, whose mother says yes, but whose prediction that Simeon makes, that a sword will pierce her heart too. We will watch. We will hear on Good Friday as she stands by the cross, those words of Simeon, no doubt, ringing in her ears in the agony of watching her son die. So let's look at that son. As always, let's focus on him and his response today in those words from John. Firstly, it seems a bit strange, and it's almost as if John is pointing with both fingers to what he's saying. Jesus knows that his friend is ill and gravely ill. And yet, he doesn't go. He doesn't leave immediately. He stays. And this is a reminder to each of us that he is not seeking always to bring people back to life in this world, but he is pointing to the world hereafter. So he waits. And we perhaps sometimes need to wait to the answer of our prayers. Perhaps the answer isn't always immediate. But our prayer must go on, and God hears our prayer. And then he arrives. He arrives in a place that is utterly dangerous for him. Listen to his disciples going, "Don't go back near Jerusalem, Lord. They're out for you. This is dangerous." This response by Jesus will lead to his own death. This is the direction of travel. And yet he goes for love of us. When he arrives, we hear that he is deeply moved and he wept. Once again, the God of love is not remote, not sitting on a cloud, immune to the pain and anguish of us, his creation. He weeps with his friends, weeps for the power that death has over us. That power. The power of death that controls and manipulates us gives us so much fear. Look at our response to COVID. Look at our response to anything that brings disease and illness. It shakes us out of the reality that we are in charge. That's what our world around us says. That we can find the power from within ourselves to resolve our issues. But that's not true, is it? Because we are not the masters of our death. We have no control over these illnesses predominantly, other than lifestyle choices. But in the midst of that, we will, on Good Friday night, in under 2 weeks, we will hear of Christ's death once again on the cross for you and for me. And we will then hear of him lying in the grave in death to hallow it, to destroy it forever. And we will witness the resurrection of Christ in which we share. Weeping, we go to the grave, but Alleluia is our song. A compassionate God, a God who seeks to raise each of us from the darkness of death into the light and hope of Christ. Lazarus, come out. Those words are spoken to each of us, that we may not live in the darkness of death, but in the light and hope of life eternal. So, my brothers and sisters, as we stand on this pivotal moment, preparing once again for Holy Week, let us immerse ourselves in that passion story. Let us take it seriously. Let us spend time with our Lord through those events of Holy Week, those events where he calls us his friends, those events where we will witness once again the power of Christ's love to save us. And may we, like Mary and Martha, know this so deeply in our hearts, that whilst we may grieve those who we miss, we know fully that they are with God, and that we will, God willing, see them again. For nothing in life can be destroyed because of love. And may we speak confidently of God's saving power in a world that needs to hear that hope, that joy, that love. That we may be like those disciples who see the risen Lord. That we too may run to show others what we have seen in the joy of Christ's resurrection, a resurrection in which we share. Weeping, we go to the grave, but alleluia is our song. Amen.